Abad versus Miles, Ms. Ellenberger. It also, so this is the first of two very closely related cases. So for the second case, the Bridgestone case, I'm going to ask the lawyers not to repeat any points made in this argument, just new points. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Ellenberger.
May it please the Court. My name is Lynn Ellenberger, and I represent the Abad plaintiffs, who are 600 Argentine HIV or HCV sufferers or their representatives. This Court is well aware of the nature of plaintiffs' claims from its opinion in the Galone case. This case is different from the Galone case because of the differences in the Argentine courts as compared to the English courts. The Argentine courts are different from the English courts because they will not accept plaintiffs' dismissed claims pursuant to the doctrine of preemptive jurisdiction. They do not permit alternative liability theories, and they might...
What is alternative liability theories? I don't understand that.
Your Honor, in Argentina, the Argentine courts only accept but-for causation.
How do you know?
We had expert testimony on this issue.
Aren't there treatises dealing with Spanish law, Latin American law?
Yes, Your Honor. There are treatises relating to a concept of Latin American law, Latin American jurisdiction, including explaining this doctrine of preemptive jurisdiction.
Well, why isn't the treatise translated into English the best evidence of what Argentine law is? Why do you have these warring experts? I don't understand that.
Your Honor, there is a provision of the Argentine Code because Argentina is a civil law jurisdiction, and there are competing expert opinions because of the interpretation
of
certain
words. But
aren't
there treatises or articles or, you know, on something as basic as this? Isn't there a tort law? Isn't there a treatise on tort law?
Your Honor, none of the experts were in agreement as to any treatise or...
What do you mean weren't in agreement? Is there a treatise or is there not?
Your Honor, there are treatises written on the various subjects that were addressed by the district court, but these experts could not agree.
Look, forget the experts. Were English translations of the relevant parts of the treatises presented to the court?
As to the issue of Section 5.4 of the Argentine Code, yes, there were translations of that provision presented to the district court.
So why couldn't the district judge make his own judgment?
Because there was an issue relating to the interpretation of the Spanish word hecho. And that word was disputed by the parties whether it meant act or event. And, for example, even just one word from the Spanish language had, in the experts' views, two different and dramatically opposite interpretations. That was a jurisdictional issue.
But haven't there been tort decisions in Argentina to resolve this issue?
No, Your Honor. I'm not aware of any of those decisions.
They don't have tort cases in Argentina?
They do, but none of these decisions that I'm aware of were presented to the district court on convenience issue.
Well, why weren't they?
Your Honor, I just don't. For example, the case relating to a remand from a dismissal on forum nonconvenience grounds back to the district court, there simply weren't any cases where the parties were aware that the Argentine court accepted jurisdiction over those cases. No cases on that issue existed.
Now, what is this but-for issue that you're quarreling with the defendants about?
Your Honor, the Argentine courts do not accept alternative causation theories. If these claims
what
are...
What does that mean, concretely?
If the claims are relegated to the Argentine courts, these plaintiffs would need to prove exactly which factor concentrate infected them, which factor concentrate gave them the HIV or HCV at which point in time. And there are problems with that in that these plaintiffs, these hemophiliacs, typically take more than one factor concentrate. There's also an issue determining when
You want to use the market share approach? Is that what you want to use?
There's various different theories, yes, Your Honor. The market share approach is one of those theories. The district court, when it looked at the forum nonconvenience analysis...
Well, now, if... I know there's a missing link in Judge Grady's opinion, but if the case were to be transferred to Argentina, and then the Argentine court said, no, we don't do alternative Couldn't you come back?
Your Honor, there is no provision in Judge Grady's dismissal.
Yes, I know, but we could add that provision, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. And if the Argentine courts would not either allow alternative causation or apply U.S. law where alternative causation would be available, the cases should be returned to this court.
But we don't know whether Argentina would apply a market share approach.
That's correct. And we don't have any information where it has in the past. Your Honor,
we don't have any case where it's rejected it, right? So.
That's correct.
What's the difference in the treatment of attorney's fees in Argentina or America?
Your Honor, I'm not familiar with that issue. Certainly in the United States, we have an ability to recover attorney's fees on a contingent fee basis. I just can't speak to Argentina on that issue. The presumption that the district court afforded plaintiff's choice of forum was diminished. The court looked at this issue on a binary approach, determining...
Why would, you know, this presumption business, why would that apply to foreign people coming into an American court? Why have any presumption there? It's hard to... I mean, you have, you know, I think you're a good argument with the market share approach. There are other arguments, but... And you have the fact that we do give a lot of weight to the district court's decision. But why should there be any presumption that this case belongs in Chicago rather than in Buenos Aires?
Well, as to the question of according foreign plaintiffs equal access to the U.S. courts, there are treaties on this subject. And, in fact, the Department of Justice weighed in on this issue in the Second Circuit Iriguri case.
But look, I don't see why the case would be any different if instead of being from Argentina, you were from South Carolina. Right? And the question was whether to shift the case from Chicago to Charleston. So
that's correct, Your Honor. And our position...
It's got nothing to do with the treaties. It's a question, why should there be a presumption when the plaintiff has gone to the... is outside his, you know, home district, why should there be a presumption that choice of form is more worthy than the defendant's place of business?
And, Your Honor, our position is that it should be a weighing process and not just an either-or answer, that the court should look to various factors that the Iriguri court set out, the sliding scale approach, the availability of the witnesses and evidence.
What are the factors besides the alternative causation theories? So...
It would be, Your Honor, the location of the witnesses and the evidence. Many of these defendants with information of the conspiracy are located in the United States. It would also be that the plaintiffs filed suit in the United States to obtain jurisdiction over these defendants.
But won't Argentine law apply even if it's in the United States?
Your Honor, it's our position that United States law should apply to this case.
That would make the market share approach issue fall out because it'd be Argentine law wherever it's litigated, isn't it?
That's correct, Your Honor. Our view is that United States law with these alternative causation theories should apply.
How could American law apply? The tort occurred in Argentina. That's the normal. The place of the tort is the normal. site of the law that's applied.
Well, again, Your Honor, our position is that the place of the tort in this case was where these concentrates were manufactured.
The tort is where the injury occurs. That's Argentina. That's not Chicago.
Well, Your Honor, we have other facts in the choice of law analysis that would point to the United States as being relevant.
Like what? The victims are in Argentina, and the tort occurred in Argentina.
That would include your...
I mean, it would be ridiculous if you'd brought suit in Argentina. You wouldn't be arguing that that American law should apply.
Well, Your Honor, other facts relate to the second generation's cases are conspiracy theories. The conspiracy at issue was formed in the United States.
I don't think that makes any difference. The point is the standard rule is that the law of the place of the tort, it's not an absolute rule, but it's pretty tenacious, is the place whose law applies, and the place of the tort is is the place where the injury occurs, not where the conspiracy or, you know, like defamation. The place of the tort is where the thing is published, not where someone schemed to tell a lie about the plaintiff.
And again, Your Honor, this issue was hotly debated by the experts and goes back to this interpretation of the Spanish word hecho. Again, the experts had different views on this.
I know, but that has nothing to do with whether the suit is in Chicago or Buenos Aires, right? If Argentine law applies, then that issue, the market share approach, should be resolved the same way wherever the case is tried, right?
That's correct. But again, our view is that United States law should apply to this.
But it shouldn't apply. What's your basis? Look, isn't it true that the tort occurs where the injury occurs? Isn't that the absolutely uniform rule?
Your Honor, we dispute that point because, again, getting back to Section 5.4 of the Argentine Code, we believe that the tort occurred where these factor concentrates were manufactured, and that's in the United States.
Now, wait, this is you're basing this on Argentine law?
Section 5.4 of
the Argentine law applies, right? I don't know. How do you get out of this bind? You're not using Argentine law to show that Argentine law doesn't apply. Is that what you're trying to do?
Your Honor, I may have misspoke. For the question of jurisdiction, whether these Argentine courts would have jurisdiction over these cases.
Jurisdiction. I'm talking about which body of law, Argentine law or American law, applies to a case where people in Argentina are injured by negligence or some, you know, conspiracy by foreign companies.
Yes, Your Honor, and again, our view would be that a federal court, when these cases are remanded following the MDL, would apply the state's choice of law and apply United States law to the cases.
No, it wouldn't, because suppose you brought the suit in Argentina. Would you be arguing that American law applied?
Your Honor, we didn't bring the suit in Argentina. We did file it in the U.S.
But suppose you had brought it in Argentina.
Because of that concern, that's why we filed in the U.S.
No. The law to be applied should not depend on where the suit is brought. It should depend on the circumstances of the accident, the injuries. So if you'd sued in Argentina, the logic of your position is that American law would apply.
If we sued in Argentina, we would have made that argument, Your Honor. The other issue that the court considered was this question of the availability of the Argentine forum. The district court did not accept this concept of preemptive jurisdiction. That is, if the cases are remanded to the Argentine courts would not accept jurisdiction because of this concept of preemptive jurisdiction. The district court found that this concept was far-fetched and had no rational basis, but there was a recent law review article on this issue, and if a forum country, in this case defendant's proposed forum of Argentina, has preemptive jurisdiction, that forum can never be an adequate forum for a case.
Well, then they'll bounce it back.
Again, Your Honor, if there was a return provision added to the district court's analysis.
That's simple.
Yes, Your Honor. The other difference between the Argentine and the English courts relates to the alternative causation theory, and the third difference between the English and Argentine courts, making this case different from Galone, is that the Argentine courts may not permit the introduction of the discovery that's been collected in the United States to date.
What difference does that make? I don't understand that.
What it means is that the plaintiffs may lose the ability to use the evidence that it has collected in these MDL cases. There was a competing opinion by, again, the experts as to whether discovery collected in the United States could be used in Argentina. The plaintiffs' experts believe that it cannot, and when the district court decided this issue...
What about if the defendants agreed?
Your Honor, the experts opine that that is not adequate, that the evidence needs to be collected in the presence of the Argentine judges. So the district court made a very real gamble with plaintiffs' claims in this case. It made a cost-benefit determination, finding that the defendant's ability to obtain information about plaintiff's medical history as compared to the plaintiff potentially losing its claims puts plaintiff's claims at risk. There was also an improper weighing of the public interest factors relating to the connections with the United States. In each one of the forum nonconvenience factors, the district court made an error, and that skewed its analysis in the decision, and the decision should be reversed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Ellenberger. Mr. Walk.
May it please the court, my name is David Walk, and I represent defendant Baxter Healthcare, and I'll be presenting the argument on behalf of all of the appellees in this case. A trial judge's forum nonconvenience decision, concerning after the judge considers the relevant factors, merits substantial deference. Judge Grady's opinion here shows that he considered carefully all the relevant factors, and his consideration is supported by the record and well within his discretion. In making this decision, he was informed by and followed this court's decision in the Galone matter, in which this court affirmed and found within his discretion a prior ruling concerning plaintiffs in this litigation from the United Kingdom. This case presents an even stronger case for affirmance. In this case, 96% of the plaintiffs filed suit in Florida, a forum which has no connection to any party or this litigation whatsoever. In addition, he found additional factors warranted dismissal here, specifically the issue of access of proof and the availability of witnesses was greater in Argentina.
Access proof? What do you mean by that?
He found that there was greater ability to access the uncollected evidence in Argentina because all of the evidence concerning the defendants and the defendant's conduct has been collected through discovery process. It is in plaintiff's hands. They can ship it to Argentina. What is missing here is...
Keep it in Chicago. What is missing?
What is missing is all the evidence about the plaintiffs, their medical history, their medical records. All that evidence is yet to be collected, and it is all in Argentina. And so it is easier... as far as trying this case.
Why is it easier to send the mass of stuff that's been collected in Chicago to Argentina than to send the medical records from Argentina to Chicago?
Because that mass of evidence is in the plaintiff's hands. They have it collected, they can simply ship it down there. The other evidence is
In the plaintiff's hands?
All the evidence concerning the defendants. It has been collected through discovery. The plaintiffs have that in their document depository, and they can ship it to Argentina. So it's in the plaintiff's hands. The evidence concerning the plaintiffs, their medical history, all those things, are scattered among hundreds of doctors in Argentina. So there has to be a substantial effort to go out in Argentina to collect that evidence, as well as any other evidence concerning plaintiffs' damages. All that evidence is yet to be collected. So at this stage of the case, it is more convenient to send the case to Argentina, where the remaining uncollected evidence can be collected.
Why send the case to Argentina? Why not just send your lawyers to Argentina to get this, collect this stuff? What does that have to do with where the case is litigated?
Well, the Forum Nonconvenience Law says that you should have a preference to where the evidence is located. And in addition, the witnesses are down there. The witnesses who would testify live, all the doctors, the plaintiffs themselves, their family members, they are all in Argentina.
That's their witnesses. They're happy to bring them to Chicago. What do you care?
Well, as far as we don't know if they would be able to bring all their doctors, but certainly any other witnesses would.
I don't understand you. They can bring anyone they want.
They can bring anyone. There's nothing in the record to show that all of their doctors would willingly come there
What does it matter to you whether their doctors are willing to come here?
Because there are witnesses that we would want to call concerning their medical care who are in Argentina, who are not subject to compulsory process here.
That doesn't make any difference.
Sure, it's one of the factors
no,
in the.
It doesn't, because if you have someone, you have a reason to depose someone, and they won't produce him. The judge will dismiss their case.
The forum nonconvenience analysis presents a preference for live testimony, and one of the factors
live
is compulsory process.
Tell them.
And there's a preference to having the case heard in the jurisdiction where the greatest number of witnesses can testify live. That's Argentina.
They all come here. Why can't they testify live here?
More of them are subject to compulsory process in Argentina. So more of them are subject to compulsory process in Argentina. Any witness?
Do you need anybody that is not available through compulsory process in Argentina to come to the United States, the judge can just tell the plaintiffs, you've got to bring these people here. We're going to dismiss the case.
There are some witnesses that were not within the plaintiff's control. The judge could not do that for a witness we wanted to call to testify, a doctor, for example. The plaintiff doesn't control that witness. The judge can't make the plaintiff bring the doctor here.
Well, if you have a friendly witness in Argentina, you can bring him to Chicago.
We can't, if there is a witness, for example, a doctor, we can't make that witness come here to Chicago.
He's a friendly witness. He's on your side. Pay his transportation.
Witness may be neutral, and we want evidence from that witness. The important thing here, Your Honor, is that this is a matter that is
like a very small consideration.
It is part of the forum non-convenience analysis, and it is something that the judge evaluated within his discretion. But
everything's inconvenient, right? So if it's sent to Argentina, all this massive documentation has to be translated into Spanish.
If the case is here, all of the witnesses' testimony would have to be translated. The judge considered that, found that essentially it was a wash. There'll be an issue in Argentina, there'll be an issue here. And that is not challenged on appeal. Let me move on to the question about the amount of deference that should be given to the...
Why did the judge say that a forum non-convenience motion couldn't be made until completion of discovery?
He decided at the beginning of the case, we raised it at the outset in the very first conference on the second generation in March 2004. We said we want to make forum non-convenience motions. He decided to let us get some minimal discovery concerning the plaintiffs, really profile forums, as well as to let the plaintiffs complete the core discovery from us. And only at that point would he let us file forum non-convenience motions. We were ready from the start to do so. And so he decided first to have the motion concerning the United Kingdom, and after this court affirmed that decision, he then let us file the motion concerning Argentina. So that was an exercise of his discretion that, we wanted to do it sooner, but I don't think it provides any grounds to question his decision here. Concerning the level of deference, the plaintiffs claim that there's some element of prejudice in the courts, in how the courts give less deference to foreign plaintiffs. That's disproved by two things. One, what this court and others have said, which is not deference. This court in the USO Holdings case said that the decision to give less deference to foreign plaintiffs is based on convenience. It's not reflective of prejudice. Second, you look at what courts do. When a foreign citizen lives in the United States, that person gets full measure of deference. That's the Ninth Circuit's decision in the Tuazon case. By contrast, when a U.S. citizen resides abroad, that person gets less deference. That would happen in the USO Holding case, where there is a U.S. corporation, but it was really its operations were in Japan, and this court said that plaintiff gets less deference, as well as some other cases cited in our brief. As far as the Second Circuit sliding scale approach, which is advocated by the plaintiffs, that is not an approach that this court has adopted, and it's not either necessary or appropriate. The factors in the sliding scale analysis are considered in the existing analysis that this court applies, and the plaintiffs are free to present any factors they want. In that analysis, the district court considers it in the mix of factors that the judge uses to make his forum non-convenience decision.
Do we know what choice of law rule, if the case is transferred to Argentina, do we know what their choice of law rules, might they apply American law?
The only evidence in the record, Your Honor, is the plaintiff's expert did a choice of law analysis and said that under Argentine choice of law principles, the Argentine court would apply U.S. law, and Judge Grady accepted that in his decision. So that this issue about alternative causation really takes
that's
out.
That's bad for you, isn't it? You don't want that market share business, right?
Well, Your Honor, we would contend certainly that market share liability, even in the United States, is not applicable, and certainly not on these facts.
Why would you call it inapplicable? Don't you have multiple producers of these blood solids?
You have multiple producers. On an alternative liability theory, you need to have all the tortfeasors joined in the case. That's not true here. We have multiple. All these plaintiffs took blood products not only from defendants but from multiple different companies, foreign companies, their local producers. They're not all joined in the case, so it's not a case where it's an appropriate application of alternative liability.
Is there any joinder problem in Argentina if the case is transferred there?
There would not be a joinder problem. In fact, that's one factor that in our favor is that there are all these third parties, many of whom are foreign, most of them are located in Argentina. They could be joined if the case were transferred to Argentina. They cannot be joined here. So that was a factor that Judge Grady found favored dismissal in favor of Argentina, and that is not contested on appeal. That's a factor that's been recognized in the
That seems very small, though, because you could always bring a separate suit against those people. What difference does it make whether you join them as third-party defendants or something like that, or sue them separately?
Well, certainly it's most efficient, Your Honor, if they are joined and it's all considered in one case as opposed to a case here and then a subsequent case in Argentina. The most efficient, convenient way of resolving it, and that's what foreign nonconvenience is all about, is for all the parties to be in one case and the issues to be resolved in one case. The Supreme Court has specifically endorsed that in the Piper case. They're considering whether you could join third parties in the case. That was also true in the Galon case, where that was a factor favoring dismissal. I want to answer one question that, Judge Posner, you had asked about the existence of treaties, treatises. We presented below the two experts who were authors of treatises who opined on Argentine law, and they provided their interpretation. There was no provision
That's
in the
that,
treaty.
That argument over the meaning of etcha?
Meaning of etcha,
so
yes.
So I take it the issue of say, market share liability has never been addressed by an Argentinian court. Is that the problem?
Your Honor, we argued below that there was a decision in Argentina that did provide for alternative causation. Judge Grady found that our expert's testimony on that point was not clear, but it was our position below that in certain circumstances the Argentine courts have recognized alternative liability. It is not as not as well advanced as the United States, but there was at least one example down there that our expert testified about. But Judge Grady ultimately concluded that the Argentine courts would apply U.S. law, and therefore that removed the issue from the case. As far as another issue was raised, as far as the introduction of evidence, and both our experts and at least one of plaintiff's experts agreed that the evidence that has been collected in the United States can be presented in Argentina and the court would consider it. Both of their Argentine law is liberal as far as the acceptance of evidence. That was testimony by our experts. In addition, the plaintiff's experts acknowledged that there are two ways the evidence could be considered by the court. One, the plaintiffs could have simply attached all the evidence to their complaint. And the second is their experts acknowledged that the evidence that was produced in the United States could simply go through the mechanism of being produced again down there, and it would be considered by the court. So there's no real debate among the experts that the evidence could be brought before the court in Argentina and would be considered by the court in Argentina. So all the evidence that has been collected in the United States will be available to the courts. The only missing step down there will be collecting the evidence that is in Argentina, and as Judge Grady found, the most appropriate place to do that is in Argentina.
Shouldn't Judge Grady have provided that in the event that the Argentine court declines to take jurisdiction, the case would come back?
Your Honor, for one thing, the plaintiffs never asked for that reservation of jurisdiction, so they had the opportunity to do so. We think that there's really no risk and no question about that, and for that reason, it's not necessary or appropriate to include.
Is there a potential statute of limitations problem?
That was not raised by anybody in the case, and so that has not been an issue in the case, whether the statute of limitations problem. With that, Your Honor, unless the court has additional questions, I am done with my argument.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wall. Ms. Ellenberger, how much time do you have? You have a minute?
May it please the court, the questions that this court asked opposing counsel all evidence one thing, that there would be considerable difficulties if this case is transferred to Argentina.
There's difficulty if it's left in Chicago. So
that is correct, Your Honor. But the case law suggests
the decisive difference.
The case law suggests that if there would be difficulties in either forum, the case should stay where plaintiffs filed it.
I see that. He said you first filed it in Florida.
Your Honor, there were various forums: Florida, Illinois, and California. There were three original forums that these cases were filed in. They were all consolidated in the district court here under the MDL number. Unless the court has any further questions, we would ask that the judgment of the district court be reversed.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel.